Hi, I'm Stacy Johnson with Money Talks News. Here's one of our best podcasts from the archive that you may have missed. Hey guys, and welcome to Money. I'm your host, Stacy Johnson, and this podcast is brought to you by MoneyTalksNews.com. My co-host is money expert Miranda Marquette from MirandaMarquette.com. Hello, Miranda.
Hello, Stacy.
And also with us is Aaron Freeman. Say hi, Aaron.
Hello, everybody.
And today we also have a special guest, Paula Pant from the hugely successful podcast, Afford Anything. Hi, Paula.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
We're so excited to have you. Miranda, what is on our agenda for today?
Yeah, so I'm super excited to have Paula join us today. I've known Paula for a long time, so it's cool to have her on our podcast. And we are going to talk about retirement, but not just how to get there, but what you're doing during retirement and whether you can actually really, truly retire.
This is a perfect topic for me because I'm doing something during my retirement right now.
Right,
and
exactly.
I can't wait to get started and see what else you guys have to say. But first, we're ready for our dad joke. Generally, I tell the joke here, but today we're going to have our special guest, Paula Pant, tell the dad joke for me. Maybe she'll do a better job than I do. Let it fly, Paula.
Did you hear about the guy who invented the knock-knock joke?
No.
He won the Nobel Prize.
Oh, my. Are my jokes that bad? You guys probably are. Huh? Okay. So, and before we get started into our topic, Paula, let's hear a little bit more about you, what you do. Afford Anything is a super successful podcast. I don't know if you guys have listened to it or not, but you should. But tell us a little bit more about what Afford Anything is about, Paula.
Absolutely. So Afford Anything is the concept, based on the concept, that you can afford anything but not everything. Every choice that you make is a trade-off against something else. And so fundamentally, the idea of Afford Anything is the idea of trade-offs and opportunity costs. And as you're making those decisions about how to allocate your limited resources, your money, your time, your energy, your attention, what you're fundamentally doing is trying to decide what your values are. And so this discussion around money, at its core, is a discussion about values, about priorities, about decision-making when it comes to the most limited resources that we have and the most important choices of our lives. Ultimately, money is basically the physical representation of our values.
Very cool. And, you know, by the way, I need to say to you before we get going here that I get really, really annoyed when I hear young people get on podcasts or have websites that say they're money experts. Because you know what? A lot of them aren't. They're knee-high to a grasshopper. They couldn't be an expert.
Oh,
and
dear
I mentioned
God.
This. Well, no, I mentioned this
because... Okay, boomer.
Well, no, I'm saying, I mean, look at... Well, we're calling me a money expert. We're calling me a money expert, so...
Well, I mentioned this because I've listened to Paula's podcast. Erudite, loquacious, super intelligent... Awesome person, very knowledgeable, smarter than me, and that's super rare, let me tell you, because I'm super smart. But anyway, Paula, I think you are really, really good, and you are a true money expert. I need to say that. And if people out there listening, if you have not heard her podcast, you need to. It's awesome. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And I expect you to have me on your podcast and say the exact same things about me. I'll write them down for you if you want.
Loquacious and erudite. I will say those exact words.
Okay, now let's get going on this week's topic. It's working in retirement. Aaron, I think you wanted to start us off with a clip, right?
Yeah. We've had callers call in and leave us little stories about their life, whether they're working in retirement, working after retirement, and stuff like that. So we'll start off with this first caller.
Hi, Stacy. My story is because of COVID, I lost my full-time job. The company wasn't doing well, had to downsize. So I was forced into early retirement at 62. I had to get a part-time job. Here I am, struggling. I had to go on my husband's insurance, very unaffordable and very low coverage. My name is Linda. I did not expect to go on Social Security at age 62. But here I am.
And that's a great clip. And Linda's not the only one who's this has happened to, obviously. Aaron, I know that you compiled some stats for us about what's going on with people retiring and not being able to afford retirement, et cetera, et cetera. Can you read some of those for me?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest one that stuck out to me was Go Banking Rates found out that 64% of U.S. workers expected to retire with less than $10,000 in retirement savings. I mean, that's crazy. Less than $10,000 in savings. That's a huge amount of the workforce, don't you think?
Yeah, more than half.
Sure. So 46% of those respondents claimed that they had no retirement savings at all.
That's pretty amazing, huh? What do you ladies think about this? These statistics? Do you think they're bull, or do you think that's true?
If it is true, that's terrifying. I mean, if you've got less than $10,000 in retirement savings, I would hope that that means either you have an incredible pension, which, to be fair, I think something or roughly about one in three people do have a pension, largely government workers. So it might be the case that at least some of them are covered by a pension. Otherwise, if you're not and you've got less than $10,000 in retirement savings, I hope that means that that you're part of that demographic that's just entered the workforce. You know, maybe you're in your 20s or you're just out of college or you're just out of grad school. That's the only non-pension use case that I can imagine for having that little in retirement savings.
Yeah, it is super scary. And especially when things like what happened to Linda happens to a lot of people. She didn't want to retire. She's only 62, mm-hmm. but she had to retire. And you know, and a lot of people, and I could be wrong about this, it's off the top of my head, I believe that almost half of people use Social Security as their sole retirement income. Have you guys read something similar to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing about Social Security is that it was never meant to be an entire income replacement. It was meant more of a supplement. And many people end up relying on it more heavily than it was intended to be.
Yeah, and you put it a polite way, a supplement. But you know what it was really supposed to do is keep old people from starving to death.
Right.
It was brought out after the Great Depression. You know, it was literally supposed to keep old people who could no longer work from dying of starvation. You know, I mean, and yet nowadays people are using it as their sole source of retirement income. So we've got a huge problem here, right?
Right. So you got a lot of people, you know, with barely any savings, and then you compile that with COVID now and economic, you know, problems that we have.
Yeah. And that's why Linda said she had to retire early because of COVID.
Exactly.
Now, before we move on, now, obviously, this show is aimed at people my age. And just to be clear, so the people listening to us, they can't see us. I'm 65. Miranda, I think, is in early 40s or 41, something like that.
Yes.
And Paul, I think, is 24.
37.
37, close enough. Same thing. And Aaron is in his mid to late 40s, Aaron, is that right?
46, I'll be 47 in February.
Okay, so we got pretty much the bases covered here from 37 to 65. So as you hear our voices, then you'll know what our perspective is. But anyway, that reminds me, though, I know that you, Paula, and I think you too, Miranda, are interested in the FIRE movement. So this is a little different than people aimed at people my age, just aimed at people's y'all's age to retire. Explain, you are involved in the FIRE movement, right, Paula, or interested in it?
Mm-hmm. I am. So the FIRE movement, so FIRE is an acronym that stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. And the idea behind the FIRE movement is that you save up enough money and invest enough money such that your passive income, typically through investments, is enough to cover at least a basic standard of living. And so perhaps you develop an index fund portfolio of $1 million. And that $1 million at a 4% withdrawal rate could give you a basic income of $40,000 per year. Now, will that be enough? For some people, yes. For some people, no. It depends on how large your family is. It depends on what part of the country you live in. It depends on whether or not you have any debt. But the notion behind the FIRE movement is that at as early of an age as possible, you develop a large bank of investments. You develop a large portfolio of investments such that that passive income becomes an option. The retire early part of FIRE is the part that tends to grab the headlines. And I think, in my opinion, is perhaps one of the most misleading or confusing aspects of FIRE. A lot of people, when they first encounter the FIRE movement, interpret the retire early part to mean that you retire at the age of 35 and you never work again. From age 35 onwards, every single day is nothing but margaritas on the beach. The reality is that that is almost never the case. For a lot of people, FIRE is essentially a way of having a well-funded second act. So perhaps it's the case that once you have that $1 million portfolio that generates passive income of $40,000 a year, you can make a career change. And maybe you've been working as a software engineer, but you really want to be a preschool teacher. And great, now you have the ability at the age of 35 or 40 or 45 to go to grad school, cash flow your grad school tuition, and switch to a lower paying profession as a preschool teacher, which is, you know, maybe if that's what you want to do, maybe that makes you happier. But you have those assets in your portfolio that smooth that transition financially.
Okay, so basically you're talking about extreme frugality leading to early retirement, which may not really be retirement at all.
Yeah, I really don't like the word retirement in the context of FIRE. I think it can be misleading because a lot of people in the FIRE movement use the word retire as a synonym for well-funded career change. For some people, that means entrepreneurship with a safety net. For some people, that means switching to a lower paid but more meaningful job. But to one extent or another, people in the FIRE movement use the word retire to reference a second act. And so to that extent, I think the use of the word retirement is a little misleading, and it often leads to more semantic debates that I think kind of obscure the point that we should really all be getting to, which is it's a good idea to save up a bunch of assets.
It should really be a FIRN. It should be FIRN, F-I-R-N. Financial independence, retired, never.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or just FI, you know? I mean, ultimately, like, once you have financial independence, you can do whatever you want. And so what matters is the FI part.
Yes. And by the way, I'm glad that your generation rediscovered something that's been around since the dinosaurs, I have to tell you. I get really annoyed at this movement, Paula, because let me sum it up for you right here. I'm going to read from Mr. Money Mustache. Okay, here's a quote from Mr. Money Mustache. One of the people principally behind the FIRE movement, I guess, right? Or at least an adherent. Now, listen to this quote. The bottom line is this. By focusing on happiness itself, you can lead a much better life than those who focus on convenience, luxury, and following the lead of the financially illiterate herd that is a TV ad-absorbing middle class of the United States. Okay, now let me read you this quote. We're like hamsters running on a wheel powered by the billions of dollars of advertising we've been subjected to all our lives. It's time, right now, to get off that treadmill. It's time to decide to stop swapping our lives for meaningless things and start enriching our lives with the things we really crave instead, things that are free for the taking. Now, the first quote was from Mr. Money Mustache. The second quote was what was from Stacey Johnson from his first book that I wrote 22 years ago. So, I mean, obviously, and by the way, To be fair, I was incented to write Life or Debt is the name of my first book. I was incented to write that by reading Your Money or Your Life, which was written in 1993, and also The Millionaire Next Door, which was written in 1996. So this is a great concept, but it ain't a new one, although it is a good one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that, you know, oftentimes people need a new framework to generate enthusiasm around tried and true classic principles. And FIRE is essentially a new framework that generates enthusiasm around saving and investing. That's why if you discard the RE part and focus on the FI, FI is fundamentally the idea of save and invest.
And how diplomatic of you to put it that way too, Paula. you should be in the Senate right now. Let's do a real quick break. We'll come back. And guess what we're going to have? Another dad joke. Be right back. Okay, we are back, and I'm ready for a dad joke. This is going to be my turn now, Paula. Here it is. You know the worst part of spanking a disobedient child in a supermarket? It's having absolutely no idea whose child it is.
Oh.
Okay, now, Aaron, you have another clip for us, don't you?
Yeah, so why don't we use this? This is another caller, and we're going to use this to segue into our next section here.
Hi, this is Cordia Francis. I am working by choice. I retired from 22 years in the pharmaceutical industry, and I've transitioned, retrained, and gotten licensed in life and health insurance sales. So I'm happy in retirement, happy to be active and engaged, and able to continue earning money and have a whole new income stream. Thank you very much. Bye now.
And this is, you know, because obviously the first part of our show, we talked about how people might have to work in retirement. We heard from Linda, who's being forced to basically work in retirement. But now we hear from somebody who likes working, and they're not alone. You know, retirement is so much different now than when my parents, which would be y'all's grandparents, retired. When my dad retired, he worked for the government, hated his job, worked until the second he could retire. Then he got this big retirement that he couldn't even spend all of. And he had putting me through college was $600 a semester. All their health insurance was paid for. They had a nice fat retirement check. I mean, it was just so different for them. And if you said to my dad, "Hey, you want to go back to work?" He'd say, "What the hell is wrong with you?" He would never want to go back to work. He gardened. He pulled a trade around the country, you know. But now people want to go back to work. Why do you think that? What? Throw some ideas out. Why do you think people might want to go back to work, guys?
Well, so I think one of the big things, and we talk about. So I'm not super into the FIRE movement in terms of, like, I have nothing against it, but it's not something that I do. I'm just more interested in, I guess, lifestyle design and just like creating a life I like right now and like location independent work. And I think a lot of people get to the point where they. After they retire, they don't have. Sorry, let's try that again. After they retire, they don't have that meaningful work to do, and so that kind of impacts them. I know a lot of impact. My own dad, he retired, and after 2 years in retirement, went back to work because he was bored out of his mind. So I think that the key there is finding something meaningful to do and something that keeps you engaged and interested.
And that's certainly the case for me. I could retire right now. My wife's much younger than me. But what else? What would I do with myself? I don't know. So yeah, I get a lot of satisfaction from working. By the way, before we go too much farther, I do want to acknowledge that you just said lifestyle design, Miranda, because that sounded pretty pretentious to me. That term. It's not
Sorry,
what my dad would have used.
Well, no, yeah, I think it's one that Tim Ferriss uses, and I probably heard Ramit Sethi use it as well.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's those. That's kind of a term that I've kind of looked into and that I like to use, because it's like I'm not actively pursuing FIRE. I mean, I spend less than I earn. I invest. I do the things, but I'm not doing extreme frugality. I don't have the high savings rate that a lot of people do have. I'm just kind of enjoying and living my life and doing the thing.
So you would look forward to working in what we traditionally would call retirement.
Definitely. Well, I mean, I would look forward to keep doing the stuff that I'm doing right now. Like I talk about, I don't want to retire from my life. I like my life as it is right now. I mean, I want to do like different things and more things perhaps, but yeah.
And now what about you, Paul? Do you see yourself retiring one day?
No, I mean, my hope is that when I'm 200 years old, I'll still be healthy enough to work. I think that the original idea of retirement came about at a time when, number one, when a lot more people were doing physically demanding work. Mm-hmm. And so retirement was, a concept that was, you know, that applied to people who just reached an age where their bodies could no longer sustain the type of work they were doing. My grandfather was a tenant farmer. You know, my grandparents didn't own any land. He was a tenant farmer on someone else's land. And there comes a point in your life where you just can't do that anymore. And he was in an area with a lot of malaria and, you know, a lot of disease. It was the southern border of Nepal, right near the border of India. And so there just comes a point where, the being in the hot tropical sun doing, manual, we're not talking about farming with machines like you do in the United States. We're talking about manual farming with handheld tools. You can't really do that into your 60s and 70s.
That definitely makes sense. And you're absolutely right. I mean, like I said, I like working. I do not do that, anything like that. My father's father also was was a tenant farmer. So I'm down. As a matter of fact, you guys, I know how to plow with a mule.
Oh,
I've done it before.
Nice.
Well,
yeah.
He used
ox carts from time to time.
I'm the only person you guys know who knows how to make a mule turn right or left. Do you know how?
No.
If you're plowing, you want the mule to turn right, you go G. And if you want him to go left, you go, ha! That's a true story. Irrelevant to this conversation? Not in any way, but true. Okay, so anyway, the four of us can continue working indefinitely because A, our jobs are not physically demanding, and B, we're self-employed, so we decide when we want to stop working. But what about if you are a person who doesn't have their own means of production? In other words, they're not self-employed. They reach a certain point in their life where they don't want to work full-time anymore, or maybe they don't enjoy their job, for that matter, and they do reach retirement age, Social Security age, but they don't want to get completely out of the workforce. What I was thinking we could do here is throw out some ideas, many of which did not exist when my father retired, which was a million years ago. I can't even remember when. But the internet has just literally changed everything. And so we have an article on our site. By the way, for those listening, we have a million links at the end in our show notes here about different things that you can do and different places you can get help for this topic. But can you guys think of anything that you would suggest that people might try to do in their retirement years, especially things they might be able to do from home?
I would say any type of freelance work or consulting work. It could be in the primary profession that you had, or it could be something totally new. You know, there are so many online classes that you can take that if you want to learn a new skill, just so you have something new and novel and that grabs your attention, you can learn anything from graphic design to how to be a freelance writer. I know, Miranda, you teach people how to do that. Yep. To bookkeeping, anything that grabs your attention, you can learn that skill and then do that as a freelancer from home.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about even you, Aaron. Aaron's has been a news editor and shooter for decades. And has worked with me for many years doing both video and, of course, you know, audio like this. But, Aaron, you could create a class on how to edit video or how to do a podcast or what equipment you need to do a podcast, any number of things. And you could actually put that online and sell it. And just as Miranda's doing, she's written a lot, so now she's teaching other people how to write. And so there's something right there. Everybody has an expert at something. So you can create a class, which you weren't able to do until relatively recently, and put that online and make money from it as an annuity. I mean, you can stop doing it. Create a class and let it bring in some money, right? That's one idea. And you could be a customer service rep. I actually have a friend who does that. She's not retired. She's in her 40s, but she works at home doing that, being a customer service rep. There's a lot of things you can do. You can buy and sell stuff. You guys ever try to do retail arbitrage, buying something on local and then selling it national, like buying something from Craigslist and selling it on eBay? I've seen that happen a lot. I've done news stories on it.
I know some people who have done that. Yeah, and they have a system and they have good markups. Another option is e-commerce. You can white label products. And kind of put your own branding on it and create a website and sell those items. And particularly niche items or specialty items. I mean, you know, I have a pet turtle, for example. And if you go into the world of buying products that are specific to turtle owners, it's a small world. But it's a world in which, you know, there are some specialty products that that we need or that we want. And there are a lot of opportunities there. If there's basically space in the market for that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys think that the current 65-year-olds or 62-year-olds out there are tech savvy enough to handle a lot of these online markets?
What the hell are you saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm right here. I do. I'm right here.
Well, I mean, you know, I come across quite a few of them in my travels that, you know, barely can use a flip phone.
You're absolutely right. But what's the solution
but
for that?
But they have the capability to learn. I mean, exactly. They need confidence, maybe, but they have complete, assuming average intelligence, they have the capability to learn.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and that's something that actually kind of pisses me off when I hear people say, like, well, I don't know. Well, guess what? You know, I owned a website. I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA. That's what I learned to do. Then I learned television news, which I did for 30 years. And then I learned the internet. I don't know how to code, but I knew how to put up a website and find somebody who knew how to code. And I've learned every single day I'm lost. I'm learning something every day because you have to. The world is changing. And if you're too much of a wuss to figure it out, to do a little studying, then you got other issues besides being able to work in retirement. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Work at it. Struggle. Learn.
Yeah.
Keeps you alive. Keeps you awake. Keeps you alert.
And again, there are a lot of online classes. You know, you can watch YouTube videos for, you know, instructionals or tutorials. You can look at websites or blogs that teach you how to do certain things. You can take an online class. You can. There's so much educational information out there.
Yes, there is. And speaking of which, let me now again, everything in the show notes. But there are so many resources out there for you to learn new stuff. And we're just about out of time. But for example, I'm on AARP's website right now. They have a page that's called resources to help job search resources for 50 plus is the name of the website. And it's got workforce50.com, retiredbrains.com, seniorsforhire.com, youroncore.com, retireeworkforce.com. I just went about the tenth of the way down this list. There's a million resources out there that'll help you 50 plus learn a new job. Or if you retired early because you're financially independent, you can use these resources or other ones as well. So there's plenty of stuff that you can do out there. There's no reason not to. There's every reason to do something interesting and to keep yourself active. So you should absolutely positively do this. You guys have anything else to add before we close out this awesome show?
Well, the title is retirement working? You know, is it awesome or is it bullshit? So what if we figured it out?
Retirement.
is it awesome?
Retirement's whatever you want it to be, and you can make it awesome.
Listen to you, like Shirley Temple you sound.
Trying to make it happen.
to me, working in retirement is essential. But I guess, and the answer, I guess, Aaron, is it just depends on who you are and what you want to do. But I see no reason whatsoever why a person, even if you have unlimited funds, I see no reason why you wouldn't want to go out and explore something new. You can make an argument, do something charitable. That's not really a job, you know, it's donating your time. But to sit at home and watch Fox News is a horrible idea. Do something else. Do not rot your brain. Explore. And I think a job is a great way of doing that. Okay.
I think you nailed it.
All right, then. I am afraid we are out of time, guys, but we're not out of this topic. You got to dig deeper. You're going to find links, as I said, to lots more info in our show notes. And remember, if your goal is to make more, to spend less, to retire rich, your online home is moneytalksnews.com. And don't forget to check out Miranda's online home as well. That is Miranda Marquit, MARQUIT.com. And you got to visit Paula Pant. She's got a website, affordanything.com. But look her up and listen to her podcast. You will be super glad that you did. If you've got a question, a comment, or anything you'd like to suggest to us, don't just sit there. Tell me. Email us at hello@moneytalksnews.com. That's hello@moneytalksnews.com. And one last thing. If you appreciate what we do, then do something for me. Subscribe to this podcast. It takes you 2 seconds. But it can really help us. So if you like us, show us by subscribing. I'm Stacy Johnson.
And I'm Miranda Marquit.
And I'm Aaron Freeman.
And I'm Paula Pant.
Thank you, Paula. I didn't give you a warning on that. You did great. So thanks for hanging out with us, everyone. And we're going to see you right here next time.